Call to order the meeting of the Board of Supervisors for March 12th, 2013. Time is 9:01. If we could all please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, if I could have clerk of the board, Christine Tallman, lead us in the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Christine.
Welcome.
We're going to move on to public comment period. This is an opportunity to speak on anything that's not on today's posted agenda. I have two requests to speak. The first one is Vernon Lee Price.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Chairman, Madam Clerk, as a turn, ladies and gentlemen of Kendall Falls County. Distinguished members of this board, my name is Vernon Price. I am a homeless advocate, moved here from Madera County. And I have respectfully met Mrs. Hatcher, which is with your board, and left us some information that we'd like to address on a community level, improving the quality of this community and quality of lives of the homeless here in Stanislaus County. The number one article, homeless prevention, it's a very brief, you have both an extended PDF file and a brief overview of what is touched in the lengthy document. Chapter 1 and 2 just briefly touches about how most people become homeless, routes to homelessness, and the cost of homelessness. Chapter 2 speaks of local causes of housing losses and job losses. So I'm looking forward to meeting with the respected members as we come to hallowed ground to discuss these issues. So thank you so much for your time, your concern, and an open heart.
Thank you, Mr. Price. Next up, we have Deborah Harper.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sorry for the appearance this morning. I was trapped and thrown off of a bus, so I haven't even had a chance to look at the mirror yet after deep freeze last night. So, okay, I'm here to read briefly the suspensions I received from the Stanislaus County Libraries. Okay, it was reported to me on February 6, 2006, a customer complained that while you and she were both in the special collections room of the Modesto Library, you verbally harassed her, making racial slurs, and accusing her of intentionally entering the public area to bother you. A prior incident occurring January 23, 2006, when you were shouting and making inappropriate racial, ethnic comments to staff and customers. A couple of days later, Tom McLeod Magazine's Internet Services Supervisor told you that behavior of this sort would not continue. This was a moment when I was in the special collections room alone. It's a locked room you have to sign up to get into in order to have privacy. This woman did come in here, clearly, to make false accusations, which is shown here on this suspension letter. June 18, 2005, library staff received complaints about you taking photographs of customers without their permission, behavior about which you have been previously warned. First of all, there isn't anything specific in the rules or regulations that say you can't take photos, but these people were ganging up on me in the special collections room again. I was actually blacked out in a hypnotic state at that point and filed a police report. But this, none of that made it to this report. They just complained because I took a photo of them after they misbehaved. Okay? Prior to this, on April 11, 2005, you loudly and angrily told staff members performing their duties not to disturb you and refuse to unlock the door of the typewriter booth you were occupying. Again, I don't loudly and angrily talk to people. These are all false accusations. It's like, how many ways can you frame a peaceful person in this community? And it goes on and on and on, all the way up to this morning, trapping me on a bus and throwing me off. Fear of reference. Okay? I was suspended for 6 months for all of these false accusations. Okay, in June 18th, 07, on April 12th. A customer and an internet computer next to you left irritated and upset following an incident in which she had not spoken to you, but you told her to mind her own business. I wouldn't have said anything if she hadn't. Wasn't minding her own business. This is all very petty stuff that you have just totally wrecked my reputation with. When I met with Monica Nino, she wanted to focus on the fact that I've been suspended from everywhere. And that's not about my behavior. That's about the community irresponsibility. Okay? I've experienced criminal behavior from bus drivers and from people throughout library after library and have endured it while you trashed my reputation year after year after year. I've been banished to the street because I'm supposedly a bad person. All this is about is how to frame the peaceful person for hostile people's behavior. And Ms. Nino's concern was that I hadn't had enough library rules in that meeting after insulting me and framing me for everything that I hadn't done, handed me another set of library rules even though I'm not even in the libraries at this point. So I'm in prayer at this point because it's extremely twisted to have employees exhibit criminal behavior framing peaceful people. I can only go through it, skim over it today because I'm in a hurry. I wasn't able to prepare for this as I was planning on this morning. Okay, on May 11th, 2007, you were observed bathing in the library restroom. There's another Debbie that was doing that. She apologized to me. Deaf and mute woman. She was so embarrassed that I was accused of bathing in the restroom, but nobody cared that it was not me. It, you know, just framed Debbie. You know, it was just, you don't even try to get the accurate information anywhere. You made an accusation on May 24th, 2007. You made an accusation that a customer seated next to you had used foul language, which upset the customer. It didn't matter that the customer used the foul language. All that mattered that he was upset because somebody called him on it peacefully and said, please don't use foul language. You twist the rules. It's just unreal. Okay, and we keep going. August 15th, my birthday. I'm suspended again. February 13th, 2006, you're, okay, we're going to go forward. July 9th, okay. July 23rd, you made a threatening remark about a male librarian to the security guard. No, I said to the person, I said that the librarians have to be responsible for themselves just like everyone else. That's not a threat. Okay, on July 31, you yelled that we're angry and confrontational and rude to a library staff member. I don't yell at anybody. I set boundaries. People don't like being told not to do what they're not supposed to be doing. So they sit there and make another false accusation. On July 31, on August 15th, you blocked another customer's access to a reservation computer and spoke rudely and aggressively to him. The hugest game on the planet at this library was everybody cutting me off in an ambiguous reference to the fact that I'm banished to the street. But I'm the only one that's responsible for everyone's behavior. It's not possible that one person would be responsible for everybody's behavior. It just goes on and on. I have not one racial slur in my mind. I'm not racial. I don't look at people as their race. They hide behind their race. Multiple people in multiple counties, especially the people. This young woman in the special collections room, I have to let you know right now, she told me to put a muzzle on it. That let me know she had a connection to 306 Castillo Lane in Turlock, okay, where there was this cute little dog that had to be muzzled because he was barking all night one night, okay, and this is also on Michael Cardoza's website. And then Congressman Dennis Cardoza resigns on my birthday. Now, people that are in the know here have been manipulating the facts for a lot of years, and I'm prayerfully and peacefully saying, enough is enough. This is it. We can't manipulate any accurate facts anymore. We're shooting for the truth. And it can't go on in 2013. And there's no way that one bus driver should be able to have criminal behavior in the spheres reference, calling me angry, and then causing a scene and trapping me on the bus just to throw me off because of all of the slander everywhere. It has to stop. 2013 is a good year to do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Harper. Is there anyone else that would like to speak during public comment period? Seeing none, I'll move to the consent calendar. B4 has been pulled for discussion. Is there any other items any board members would like pulled? Nothing? Anyone from the audience? If not, I'll accept a motion on agenda items marked with an asterisk A1 through 3, B1 through 3, 5, 6, 7, 6.
A motion to approve.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Back to item B4, approval and adopt the General Service Agency's Fleet Services Policy. Mr. Boggs.
Pardon me. One second. Okay, we're good. Good morning, Chairman Chiesa, members of the board, CEO Nino, Council Doring. Good morning again. Keith Boggs, Assistant Executive Officer, and this morning, in my capacity as your General Services Agency Director and County Purchasing Agent. The comprehensive review, contrast, and comparison with like-sized counties of our GSA Fleet Services process has proven to be very validating and an extremely productive exercise. I'd like to thank this board and Supervisor O'Brien specifically for inspiring this review and the several important program and process revisions that have been born out of that. The fleet policy document that is before you this morning is actually a compilation document for the most part. Most of the policies in the document are pre-existing, meaning that they exist in other county policy locations in the personnel policy, travel policy, several board recommendations, hence the silly graphic on screen. The only new language is related to the vehicle funding and acquisition text. Supervisor O'Brien has requested several minor modifications to the policy language as proposed in the agenda item. Those include, first, on policy page 10, the suggested edit removes the word recommend and adds consider with regards to practicability and alternative fuel low-emission vehicles, and then adds the sentence, annual requests for vehicles non-specialized will be determined by the fleet manager to include compact sedan, pickup, quarter, half and three-quarter ton, and passenger vans, 7 to 15 passengers. In addition, on policy page 11, under vehicle life cycles, the elimination of in collaboration with department head, and on vehicle utilization, again, the reference to and department head. It places the policy discretion solely on the GSA fleet manager, obviously. And those are the suggested changes at this hour, and I would be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Do we have any questions for staff?
Just want to thank staff for making these changes and putting putting the decision with the expert we have. Our expert is our fleet manager. He does a great job, and that's where the expertise is, and that's where it belongs. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
And I would say that this has been a good exercise because we made a good policy better because of this. So,
absolutely.
Appreciate you bringing it forward. Any other comments? Okay. If not, look for a motion. Any comments from the audience? I guess I should have asked that. I'm sorry. All right. If not, the promotion on B4.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
There's a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion again carries.
And to clarify, that included the modifications as outlined by Keith Boggs.
Yes, sir. All right. Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. On to B7, approval to apply for the Department of Justice Office of Violence Against Women 2013 grant. Stan Risen.
Hey, good morning, Chairman Chiesa, board members, Ms. Nina, Mr. Doring. My name is Stan Risen with the Chief Executive Office, and joining me at the staff table this morning is Sandy Regalo, Management Consultant in the Chief Executive Office. And we're here to request your approval to allow the Chief Executive Officer to apply for another Office of Violence Against Women 2013 grant. And at this point, I'm going to turn the presentation over to Sandy.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
As you know, the Stanislaus Family Justice Center opened its doors in November of 2010 through the efforts of many agencies representing law enforcement, social services, mental health, community-based nonprofit organizations, faith-based organizations, and city and county governments. The center is operated by the Stanislaus Family Justice Center Foundation. Their mission is to provide a safe and compassionate environment to foster hope and healing while raising public awareness and support. The Family Justice Center model provides a combination of programs, services, and interventions in one location to victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, child abuse, and elder abuse. In 2010, Stanislaus County received the Fiscal Year 2010 Arrest Program Grant Award in the amount of $675,000 from the Department of Justice Office on Violence Against Women. In December of 2012, the county completed the grant period for the 2010 Arrest Program Grant Award and is in the process of formally closing out the federal grant. We have a new grant opportunity and would like to apply for the Fiscal Year 2013 grant to encourage arrest policies and enforcement of protection orders program from the Department of Justice Office on Violence Against Women. This three-year grant is in the amount of $650,000. Tom Ciccarelli, CEO of the Family Justice Center, is here to report the 2012 results of the Family Justice Center. After his presentation, your board will be asked to approve staff recommendations authorizing the Chief Executive Officer to submit an application to the Department of Justice and to accept the funding if awarded.
Thank you, Sandy. Mr. Chairman, Ms. Nino, members of the board, Council Doring, it's an honor to be here today to kind of give you a little snapshot of where we are in 2012. As Sandy said, we're in our third year now of the center being open, and I wanted to come and share some numbers with you this morning about who they are, who the numbers of clients that we're serving and who they are. First, on the adult side, total number of clients for 2012, adults was 297. And in subsequent visits, that number becomes 1,024. A lot of clients come back for additional services. It might be civil legal services, those types of things. So that's a total then of client visits of 1,321. That turns into total services for adults of 2,171 actual services provided. I think the thing that continues to surprise me is the number of children that we're serving at the center. Through the care center effort, which provides the forensic interviews for children that are victims primarily of sexual assault, but also the children that come to us with victims of domestic violence that are the collateral damage, if you will, of that dysfunction in the family. So initial visits for 2012, children, clients served 881 children. Subsequent visits, return visits were another 1,036 for a total of 1,917. Total services provided to the children were 2,616 services for the year 2012. If you dig a little deeper in the numbers, the percent of adults we see who have children with them is 77%. 77% of our victims have children with them. And when we come back for subsequent visits, return visits, that number jumps up to 83% because a lot of times the children, there are other children involved, as I mentioned, the collateral damage of domestic violence. So those are kind of staggering numbers for me and very sobering for me. You know, unfortunately, we're very busy. And we'd love to put ourselves out of business, but we don't see that happening anytime soon. None of this would be possible without the vision of the board and allowing us to go for that first OVW grant. It's a critical piece of funding. The other critical pieces of funding that we have comes from the Prop 10 Commission. And between those two grants, we're able to pay staff and some of the overhead expenses.
And it's really hard to get those administrative dollars any other place except from those two grants. None of this, absolutely none of this would be possible without our partners. And I want to thank you, Monica, especially for, you know, just supporting us in every way. I mean, we have our in-house partners, CSA, the care center, the DA's office, BHRS, the sheriff's office, all the PDs in the county, but especially Modesto Police Department. The leadership in each one of those directors is incredible, and they support us, what I would say, holistically in our efforts to do that, them and their staff. We have people like Stan and Sandy. I mean, Sandy and I, she's like one of the family, and that's the way we are. We're working so close together, and so we want to thank them. Also, we have a multidisciplinary team, which is primarily made up of county employees. And then we have a domestic violence response team, which we were able to get going this last year with a CalEMA grant. And so that is gives us a haven advocate that can actually be with the detectives when they do the follow-ups with the victims. So that's something else that's very proactive. And so in terms of new things we've started, I gave you a brochure about the ARC program, Art Restores Kids. We're very excited about that because it gives the children a chance to come together. It's not art therapy, it's just kids coming together and in a structured fashion to have some time and let them draw what they think life is about today. And so that's a structured thing that's brand new for us in this past year. And also, we're embarking on something new this year. We're going to have a fundraiser in June called the Leo's Ball, Law Enforcement Officers Ball. And we've asked Birgit Flatiger, our DA, and Sheriff Christensen, and our new MPD chief, Carol, to be with us, and also Mike Harden to be there to represent the retired law enforcement. So it's going to be a fundraiser for us, but it's also going to be a way to celebrate law enforcement in the community. So we're very excited about our co-chairs, and we're going to have a nice party and take some time to celebrate the good things that are happening in our community. So those are just a thumbnail of what's going on at the center. I'd invite you all to come, but I know you've been there to tour. I'd be happy to answer any questions that the board may have at this time.
Are there any questions? I guess I have a comment for you, because one of the goals of this board is community collaborations and capacity building. And you went through the names of the county folks, the law enforcement who have been participating. There's also the Children's Crisis Center, the Stanislaus Elder Abuse Prevention, Memorial Medical Center, Havens, and there's all these partners coming together, and this actually meets the goal. Carol Shipley, I hate to always give one person too much credit, but you deserve a whole bunch of credit for pushing this and making it reality. Birgit, you too, Adam, Jill, everyone, and Tom, so keep it up. We understand the significance and importance of this, and I'm sure you will be receiving support today.
And I will say, I would be remiss if I didn't mention Havens Women's Center. I think I did in part of my comments, but they are absolutely vital CBOs that are with us, them and the Children's Crisis Center. But I really want to come back and thank you guys for having the vision and the leadership, because we needed to have your support in order to partner with government and CBOs and especially into the faith community, because they're a huge part of what we do. And so thank you for your vision on that and your leadership for that.
Thank you.
Okay. We ask the board to approve three staff recommendations. Authorize the Chief Executive Officer to submit an application for funding to the Department of Justice Office on Violence Against Women Fiscal Year 2013 grant to encourage arrest policies and enforcement of protection orders program in the amount of $650,000. Authorize the Chief Executive Officer or her designee to sign and execute the grant application due on March 25, 2013, and authorize the acceptance of funding if awarded, and direct the Auditor Controller to make the necessary budget adjustments.
Yeah, thank you. I guess really quickly, I'm going to ask if there's any other comments from the audience. Okay, if not, I'm going to bring it back to the board for comments and or motion. Oh.
I too would like to thank everyone in the community for stepping up. I know that in the past years we've asked you to step up, and you truly have come in, and the community as a whole has joined in this effort. And I just want to commend everyone. You know, sometimes the community tries to accomplish something on their own, and then sometimes the government steps in and they try to do it, and at this time everyone stepped up with the same belief and the same wishes, and it's been accomplished. And I want to thank everyone that's been involved in this. I think this is a true example of what can be accomplished through a partnership where there's a thorough understanding and a community as a whole has backed. Once again, I too want to thank you for what you've done. And if it's appropriate, I make a move, we accept it. Make a motion to accept the recommendation.
All right, a motion from Supervisor Monteith.
Second.
I will second that.
And we have a second. Any other comments? All right, if not, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? 5-0. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right. On to correspondence.
This board has received the Stanislaus County Audit Report Road Fund, July 1st, 2009 through June 30th, 2010, from the California State Comptroller, John Chang.
Accept the report.
This board has received a resolution of the City Council of the City of Houston opposing any discretionary development within the city's sphere of influence.
Refer to the Department of Planning and the Clerk of the Board.
And the board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? I see. Okay, I'm going to have a quick one. Next Wednesday, the 20th, the State Water Board is having a hearing on the San Joaquin River flow proposal. If you're not familiar with this, I think we will be taking action later this month, or we will be taking up this subject. But there's an opportunity to go to Sacramento and speak before the State Water Board requiring unimpaired flows of 35%. And it's pretty complicated. That's February 1st through June 30th, assuming that there was no dam, water coming into Don Pedro, water coming into Maloney's, water coming into, what's on the Merced River? McClure. It would be as though the dam wasn't there. They would have to release 35% of the water on those dates. And it could be lots and lots of water. It will have a profound impact not only on our county, but Merced County and even parts of San Joaquin County. So I will be attending on the 20th. I will be speaking from a Stanislaus County perspective along with lots of other folks. If anyone out there needs more information, contact TID or you can contact my office. It is very, very important. And we talk about unemployment. We talk about the Enviro screen, which I brought up before. I wrote that editorial. This possibly flies right in the face of it and exacerbates our problems around here. So next week on Wednesday, it will be an 8 o'clock meeting. They'll have open comment, probably won't be till after lunch, but if you want to participate, let me know. Anything else? Okay, then we're Board of Supervisor reports. Legislative Fiscal Management Report.
Yes.
Yanito.
I do, Chair. Last week, the Assembly Budget Committee heard the proposal regarding the state option on Medicaid expansion. The State Department of Health Care Services is insisting that they do take a portion of local government's 1991 realignment without any delay. The Assembly bill passed AB 1X1. The bill would expand Medi-Cal coverage on low-income adults without children at home. The Transportation Coalition for Livable Communities, of which CSAC is a member, proposes to use cap-and-trade auction revenues from fuels for transportation infrastructure investments. The Department of Finance was accepting public comment through March 7th on the expenditure plan for auction revenues. CSAC is coordinating a large joint support letter from local boards of supervisors statewide. Increased funding for transportation is currently on this board's current legislative platform. On the federal side, last week Congress debated proposals to try to undo the sequester, without achieving, unfortunately, a passable bill. At this time, it appears that agencies are settling in regards to across-the-board reductions. Congressman Denham is looking ahead at a potential ag-related field hearing at the end of May in Stanislaus County. This is preliminary, and once we have details, we will share those with this board and the public.
Thank you. All right, so this is going to get a little tricky here. So I'm going to go ahead and adjourn the Board of Supervisor meeting, and we are going to call to order as the Stanislaus County In-Home Supportive Services Public Authority. Going to approve the consent calendar from March 5th, 2013.
Motion approved.
Motion to approve.
Second. Second it, please.
And a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes 5-0. Here's a chance for public comment, public forum. I do have one speaker card, and that is from Terry Walker Dampier. Yes. Did I say that right? Is that Dampier? All right. Welcome.
Good morning, and to the board and to all whom honors due this morning. We see that you are going to a closed session, and our bargaining team and your bargaining team has worked very hard together in a long time, and we're asking that you take our proposal seriously. And we spent a lot of time lobbying in the community for the first charge funding, and our proposal will be funding using our proposal to be very funding and using in both the community and the first charge and the maintenance. And we do God's work, and we do appreciate your time and your effort, and thank you for this space.
Thank you very much. Is there any other public comment? Okay, seeing none. Now I'm going to adjourn this, or to close, we're going to have a closed session. County Council.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we're going to have closed session to have conference with legal labor negotiator pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. The agency negotiator is Monica Nino and Jody Hayes. The labor organization is United Domestic Workers. We do not expect to report out on this item.
Okay, so now I'm going to close the meeting of the public authority, and now we're going to have, I'm going to reconvene the Board of Supervisors meeting. Okay, now we're going to close session here also.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we're going to have closed session, first of all, to have a conference with legal counsel to discuss existing litigation, and that's pursuant to, let me see, Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision A, involving one case, that's Pellegrini versus Technicam Incorporated, Alameda County Superior Court, case number RG08393645. Additionally, we'll have conference with labor negotiator, this is pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. The agency negotiator is Monica Nino, Nancy Bronstein, and Jody Hayes, and the labor organizations are those as listed in the agenda. We do not expect to report out of that matter either.
Okay. The report is adjourned to closed session.